your favorite pretty girl, Pretty Girl Jazz, sitting here with Dr. Spack. Of course, welcome back to the Pretty Spectacular Football Show. We're getting into some things today. As you know, it has been NFL Free Agent Monday, and it has been popping off. They've been popping up before then, but today has really been popping. Like, I'm not understanding what's going on. Like, why everything is moving so fast and so swiftly, I don't know. But here we are. Here we are. What do you got to say?
Yeah, it's really crazy. I didn't expect to see all. I don't know. I'm normally way more on it than this. I thought I had till Wednesday, right? I've been on a mock draft and I forgot about the tampering period, right? So free agency legitimately starts on Wednesday, but it's right now. It's happening right now. You see deal after deal after deal. I can't wait to get into it.
It's deal after deal after deal after deal. I just did a TikTok video, so y'all can go check that out at Peachy Dove Sports. I just did like a whole 5-minute breakdown recap of day one. I probably missed some people because it's been a lot going on, but it's been jumping. We started jumping almost at midnight.
Listen, yeah. Yeah.
Listen, we started jumping almost at midnight. I think it was 11:38 p.m. when the news broke that Russell Wilson is coming to Pittsburgh. And if y'all know me, y'all know I say we. Okay? Because I'm a part of the team. All the fans are a part of the team.
Now here.
So
I got to get your reaction to. OK, so if you want to hear her authentic first reaction, you can go to PG Love Sports on Instagram or TikTok and you'll hear her authentic. I got to go get my, you know, I ain't going to say all that.
But thank you.
You'll hear her authentic response to Russell Wilson getting picked up by the Steelers. You'll hear that, right? If you go to TikTok. However, I want to hear your response now that you've sobered up. Now that you've had it, not sober, different drink, but not as
I was very much sober when I got the news. I was just reaction. I'm about to give my reaction. Fine, let's get the reaction. Okay,
listen. Give me a reaction to Russell Wilson.
So, at first, well, I still don't really know how I completely feel. I'm like, because we do know that I just did Locker Talk and I just was saying Uncle's looking a little rusty at the beginning of the last season, which was not a lie. All of it was very much true. I literally just got done talking about him and I was saying, I don't know, because Pittsburgh is cheap. We cheap. And I've always said this, but it makes sense now with why he's with Pittsburgh, because we are cheap. So I get it. The Broncos is going to have to pay him the 38 mil, 37.7 mil. Pittsburgh is paying him the QB minimum, 1.21 mil. So yeah, they got a good deal. Why wouldn't you sign a veteran quarterback, 9-time Pro Bowler? He really didn't play horrible last season. He just started off a little rusty, crusty, dusty, musty. So I think that he's going to need to just get in a little bit more shape. I understand why they did it. They want to add some competition to the QB room, as Kenny Pickett was just – before Kenny Pickett got hurt and had to go, he had 6 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. That's too much. Russell Wilson had if I'm quoting this right, I believe he had 25 touchdowns and I think 6 interceptions. The number may be right or may not. I'm not sure. It's something like that though. So it's like, we're not gonna play on Russ as if he's not a good QB yet, a QB, as if he can't still play, as if he can't dip it and do it with the best coming into year 13. I just, you know, hopefully he can add some positivity to the locker room and really gather the locker room together. But he's a veteran, and I feel like we do need a veteran quarterback presence, because we don't have that. They don't have that. They've lacked that since Ben retired. So Sierra going to be in Pittsburgh, and she bet so well that Pittsburgh jersey the way she was wearing Seattle and the way she was wearing Denver, okay? But he picked there. He picked. He like, I get, he picked. He picked to be in Pittsburgh, and there's a reason why he picked to be there, so.
I think he picked it because he looked at the best quarterback situation for him. He looked at the best situation for him to get on the field and have an impact. And you looked at the Steelers don't really lose. Like, you know, with your coach, you're not going to have a losing season, period.
Everybody want to pay for Mike Tomlin anyway. So it's like, stop acting like he wanted to play with coach. And I would want to pay for play for coach too. So, I mean,
You're not going to have a losing season. You can wrap that up. So because of that, you have a great defense. Now you get in a situation where you can beat out Kenny Pickett. If Russ can't beat out Kenny Pickett, it's a wrap for Russ.
He need to retire.
Call it a day.
He can't beat him. He needs to fight. What he need to do is go in there and show. And I listen, I love me some Kenny. I do. I love me some Mason. I've always loved Mason. Mason been with us for a while, and Mason is allegedly leaving. So Russ need to go in there like he the boss. A1 steak sauce. Like, let the vet work, okay? Go move out the way, little boy, because you don't know what you're doing. You don't know what you're doing.
In the comment, drop where you're from. Drop something in the comment. Tell me what's your favorite move of the free agency frenzy. Free agency frenzy so far. Like, what's your best and your favorite move? We're gonna talk about all the top moves that kind of happened real quick. And so we talked about Russ. I think this is gonna work out. Now, give me your prediction on this. Do you think Russ takes the Steelers into the second round of the playoffs?
I feel like we can get back there. He's not new to this. He's true to this. I feel like and we have a new offensive coordinator as well. So I feel like if they go in there and they can work out and devise a plan that really works for the weapons that are there, I think we can at least get to a playoff win. And the thing is, he wants to. He just did a podcast not too long ago. Says that he wants to, you know, he wanted, not saying they're going to win the Super Bowl, but that's what he's saying. Like, I want to be able to win the Super Bowl. So, Russ, it's showtime. Don't let us down now.
Look, okay. So we have... We got Russ, right? I'm going to predict this. I think he'll not only take them to the to the second round of playoffs, but I think they'll do a little bit. Actually, no, I think that's the wrap. I think that's where you go. Go to the second round of playoffs. I think it stops right there. I don't think it goes any further than that.
That's better than what we've been doing. So I'll take it, because that means we're growing. If we can get past that first round of playoffs, that means we're growing and going in the right direction, which is what I think Kirk Cousins wants to do in Atlanta. He said, I'm going to Atlanta. I'm going to get somebody else to do it in Minnesota because I ain't doing it no more. I'm out of here. He said, I'm not re-signing. I'm going somewhere else. Get someone else to do it. And that's exactly what's going to happen.
I think he's making a mistake here. And I'll be honest with you. I feel like you have a great relationship with Justin Jefferson. Why would you want to leave that situation? Shout out to everybody joining us on IG. I would say, why would you want to leave that situation when you have a great relationship with a elite wide receiver? Now you're going to go. He does go into a situation.
More than a wide receiver, though. Like, let's be honest. You need more than that. And it has to be a reason of why he wants. Like, he's been there for 6 seasons. It's the reason why he didn't re-sign his contract and why he decided to go somewhere else. So it's just like he whatever was going on, he got tired of it. He said, I'm tired of being sick and tired. Okay.
Look, so, you do have an opportunity. I like the fact that, okay, cool. You have an opportunity to, you know, stay with Justin Jefferson. You have an opportunity to stay in a place where you're comfortable and your offense was humming at that. Okay. So if you look at what happened to him last season, like really pay attention to it, and you can see that he was doing so well. He was one of the, if not the top quarterback in the entire league before his injury. He was having a great season. Now, he didn't have a great running game. He didn't have a great running game, but look, the Vikings are in position to fix that, right? So you have a chance to do something. He had a chance to do something great there. However, in Atlanta, you do have a chance to do something special with a lot of young weapons, right? Can you turn Drake London into Justin Jefferson? What can you do with Bijan Robinson? You have a good running game. What can you do with Bijan, right? And I look at that and I wonder what Kirk Cousins can do there. If Kirk Cousins is the same guy he was last season, Atlanta can take over the NFC South with no problem.
Yeah. I mean, but we know that we knew that Atlanta had a quarterback problem for a while, for a very long time. The head coach just did a press conference not too long ago saying, if we didn't have a QB problem, I wouldn't be standing on this podium right now talking about it. So I just, you know, again, I feel like we don't really know the reason why he said he don't want to do it no more, but there has to be a reason why he didn't want to be there anymore. And that's okay.
They have a QB problem, but they're fixing it. That's what I would say, right? And I think they're fixing it with Kirk.
With Mr. Cousins. He gonna go on and do it now. Now could Kirk Cousins end up being like their Matt Ryan? I'm gonna digress. We're gonna talk about something else. So
I think Kirk is gonna do extremely well. Look at The NFC South went from not having any great quarterbacks to now having four quarterbacks you got to care about, right?
Yep.
You have Kirk Cousins there. You have Baker Mayfield there, who last year was a footnote. Now he matters.
He's a real right? note. He a real
yeah,
note.
Yeah, he's a real I'm note.
I'm an old citation. Sorry for y'all who are not academias.
Derek Carr was the best quarterback in the division last season before Baker Mayfield really started shining through. Like, if you looked at the offseason, you thought Derek Carr was going to shine. And he took them nowhere. And so now you got Kirk Cousins, and I feel like now Kirk Cousins is the best quarterback in the division.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see. We'll see how it goes. It'll probably go really well. The Falcons are a building, and they need to get somewhere. They need to get the move, honestly. And speaking of moving, he moving from Las Vegas to Green Bay. Baby, you going to be – well, Las Vegas gets cold, too. Not as cold as Green Bay. Josh Jacobs is moving. I don't really have much to say about this right here.
I looked at it this way, right? You have Aaron Jones, and if you really saw him play at the end of last
season, they do not have Aaron Jones anymore.
That's what I'm saying. You had Aaron Jones, right? And if you looked at him at the end of last season, how effective did he look? He looked like an impact player. He looked like an absolute beast. And I know he gets hurt a lot. Now, maybe that's kind of, you know, where they were going with that. He does get hurt. He does. But he was an absolute monster at the end of last season, like if you really paid attention to it. Now, to switch him out, I think Josh Jacobs is going to be great there. I think he'll be great there. But I did love what – I think Aaron Jones is going to have a great – he's going to find some other place, and he's going to be very effective. And they will miss him. Josh Jacobs is a good replacement.
It's time.
What'd you say?
New York, this is your time.
That is their time. It is their time because this is what they lost. How you feel about this one? Now, this one made me mad. I'm not going to lie to you.
Yo. No, I'm saying the New York Jets need to go get Aaron Jones.
But okay.
The Jets have lost their mind. They've lost their mind.
Okay, tell me lost why.
Because, first of all, it's very rare, I feel like, nowadays, because, like, loyalty to teams is not really there, but he has been very adamant for the longest time that he wanted to spend his career in New York. And y'all give him to y'all rival. Listen, he got a 3-year deal with Philadelphia. He couldn't even get a 3-year deal on a team that he really wanted to be on. Rather, if they felt like it didn't work or he didn't work, fix it. They messed up by having that quarterback, Daniel Jones. They messed up by giving him all that money for him to suck, to be in the trash can. And you shortchange him, and now you're going to feel the brunts and the bruises of what you did. They lost their mind.
Last year, right at 962 yards rushing. The year before that, 1,300 yards when the Giants were really cooking, right? Saquon does get hurt, though. Like, he was really, like, he's not.
He was hurt. Don't say get hurt.
He gets hurt.
Oh, God, leave him alone.
Saquon gets hurt. Like, you can't always depend on it. However,
he's a football player. What is he supposed to do? Not get hurt? You're going to get hurt.
There are certain football players who don't get hurt as often.
Oh, please.
They don't get hurt as often.
Please.
Now, I will say this, though. Now, remember,
That's all.
Christian McCaffrey was one of those guys who got hurt almost every season, right? And then they got rid of him. And you saw what he did, right?
Maybe it's your strength and conditioning coach. Maybe it's your process. Maybe it's what you're doing Maybe it's what you're not doing is why they got hurt. Because he probably gonna go to Philly, and Philly got a great strength and conditioning team over there. Autumn, they're gonna go over there, and he's gonna start whooping. So
what do you think for Saquon Barkley? Do you feel like, okay, his best season so far has been the 2022 season? He's had two seasons like that, 2018, 1,300 yards. His 2022 season, 1,300 plus yards again. Do you feel like this is going to be one of those breakout, you know, real ridiculous seasons of 1,500 yards, 1,700 yards, something crazy? Or do you think it'll be more in the line with, like, maybe 1,200 yards but way more touchdowns? Because the most he's ever had is 11 in a season.
Well, I mean, the Eagles are going through their process of swapping out, losing people, putting people in. So I feel like what the Eagles do really well, in my opinion, and I hate to say it, but what the Eagles do really well is they take their players and they use them to their capacity, they use them to what they're good at. So I feel like they're going to get him in there. They're going to condition him. They're going to strengthen his legs and strengthen them knees. Yeah, you know, with the knees, strengthen them hammies. They're going to get him. They're going to get him right. And I feel like they're going to put him in a position to where he is going to succeed. And he has weapons around him. Jalen, come on. Come on. They are going to utilize him in the way he was supposed to be used in New York. And I think even if he doesn't have the super-duper explosive season, I think you're going to see a better Saquon than what you did in New York.
The Eagles are scary. The Eagles are very, very scary. Right? Like their whole entire, like the last year, what they did last year in the offseason had me, you know, terrified, thinking that they were going to run through the NFC. I was terrified. No, thinking about what the Eagles may do to every team that they face, and then they folded. They folded right. Because their defense wasn't up to par and their passing defense wasn't there, right? Their passing defense just wasn't there, and they folded when it mattered. Now, this Eagles squad, know they needed to get tougher, needed to get more out of their running game, so they go out and make a huge investment. I'm here for the Eagles this year. I'm scared again because I feel like you have a Saquon Barkley, you have weapons on the outside, right? Mm-hmm. The offensive line, I mean, they will take a hit losing Kelce, but they'll recover. I think they'll be a scary team, especially in year two with all those great defensive players they got in last year's draft. So, I'm expecting a lot from them, and I like this move for them a whole lot. All right, we got DeAndre Swift leaving Philly, going to the Chicago Bears, hopefully, you know, to play with. We'll figure out who he's playing with. Maybe it's
everybody knows they're supposed to get him. We know.
We don't know what they're going to do, but how you like this move, DeAndre Swift going to the Chicago Bears?
Right now, I don't like Chicago as an organization, so I really can't give you an actual, like, this is going to be so great for him. I think he's going to play well because he is a great player. But that's all I got.
I feel you. I can't front. I think this is going to be I think this will be a good move for him. They need more running back help, right? They expect.
You know what? Really quick.
What you got?
So sorry to interrupt.
Give me something.
They got my girl. Speaking of women coaches in the NFL, let's talk about it. Our girl, Jennifer King, came over. She started off at the Panthers, went to the Commanders. I found out about her and started to love and endear her when she was at the Commanders. They had coaching changes and they act like they didn't want to keep her on. So guess what? Chicago Bears said, bring it here. Bring the talents here. So she is now the running back coach for the Chicago Bears. So it's going to work really well. That's all. You can actually move on if you want. It's like, nah.
No. I'm here for it. Okay. Now,
this is the one that surprised me.
That surprised me too. Talk about Tony Pollard going to the Tennessee Titans. What you got on it?
I never thought that I would see him wear another uniform outside of Dallas. This is crazy to me. And it also solidifies.
What made you think that?
I just feel like, I mean, Dallas be tripping though. So you know what? It's Dallas. But what it solidifies me, and another reason why I was really surprising and shocking is that it kind of solidifies the fact that they will not be going after Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry's going to have to find somewhere else to go. So I am waiting for that. I'm waiting for a team to be like, we have picked up or we are going to sign Derrick Henry, because it's like, man. But I mean, I didn't see this happening. Like out of all the, I didn't see it happening.
So, I'm not going to lie to you. When they got rid of Ezekiel Elliott, I thought it was Tony Pollard's time to not only, not only take over as like the guy in Dallas, but I thought it was his time to really shine on a whole nother level, right? Like Eckler started to shine when he got, you know, when every barrier was removed and it was his show, he started to shine. Some running backs really take to that and they start really going off. Tony Pollard showed in that moment that he wasn't number two back and not a number one. He just showed, I'm not the guy. And you shouldn't rely on me as if I'm the guy. However, if there's another guy here, I'm going to do really well whenever he comes out. Right?
Well, they ain't got another guy. So I don't know what to tell him. I don't know.
Maybe actually,
they,
look.
They do. But I'm just saying, like, I just, I don't know. I didn't see him. Like I said, I didn't see him wearing another uniform. So the fact that he is going to be wearing another uniform is going to be quite surprising. Maybe he'll show up as the guy. Since you don't think that he's the guy.
I don't think he's the guy. I think this guy's the guy, though. Austin Eckler going to the Washington Commanders. I think that's I don't know what they're doing at quarterback right now. We're going to figure out something for them. Right, we're gonna figure out something for them without my draft in just a second. But we got Austin Eckler going there. He's a guy, and he's been a guy. I don't believe that the Chargers. Well, you know what? They want to do something different. I think Derrick Henry could be in play for a few different teams here. I want to talk about where Derrick Henry may go.
All right. Well, we ain't gotta talk about Austin no more.
We got to talk about Austin, but I think I'm thinking about okay. Now you got openings with the Chargers, right? That's what kind of crossed my mind. You got openings with the Chargers. You have openings in a few different places, like with the Ravens. There's something there as well.
We're not talking about Austin.
We're talking about Austin, but Austin leaving the Chargers got me thinking about where Derek may go. But what you got here for Austin Eckler going to the
Commanders? I said I don't have anything for this man. He leaving. Good luck.
I don't got nothing for this man. All right. Overall, this is the way the NFL landscape has changed. The NFL running back landscape has changed. I'm going to tell you why this is happening, right? The reason this is happening is because in the draft, you have no elite running back prospect.
They're like, no, we got to move fast.
You got to move and you got to move fast. And you don't have any... And look, I know later on in round three, round four, round five, that's where you start seeing running backs come off the board. But right now you have really great running backs that are out there. They're a little bit older. They're a little bit banged up. They got a little history on them, but they're better than what's in the draft. And that's why this market is popping, right? So Saquon Barkley going to the Eagles, well, Josh Jacobs.
They would have some good prospects if they drafted the running backs from HBCUs, but I ain't going to talk about it.
Well, look, talk to me nice, because that's true, right? You got Saquon Barkley to the Eagles, Josh Jacobs to the Packers, Austin Eckler to the Commanders, Tony Pollard to the Titans, DeAndre Swift going to the Bears, Devin Singletary. Now, this is a name I'm not thinking is going to make any – you can't replace Saquon Barkley. You can't do that. That's
we don't want Saquon. We want Singletary.
You can't do that. That's not right. Gus Edwards going to the chart. That's not proper as well. And then Antonio Gibson going to the. I'm just being honest about what's right and what's not right. Like
that's not proper.
Yeah. Hopefully you got another plan. But Antonio Gibson going to the Patriots. That's the way the landscape is changing. What you got?
Nothing.
All right. That leads us to one more question, and this is the question. There's two questions here. You got Justin Fields. The question is, where will Justin Fields go? Everybody thought that he was going to y'all. They thought he was going to y'all.
Wait a minute.
That's what they thought, but like you said, y'all cheap, and you took the cheap option. Everybody, like, if you go back and you look at...
But if you've been
put 20 on it,
they ain't been paying attention to Pittsburgh then. Because if you've been paying attention to Pittsburgh really never had no interest in him for real. They never did, because if they did, they would have moved the same way they did with Russell. They would move. They didn't.
What's
they
up,
didn't,
Nora?
They didn't have no. They did not have any true interest in that man. He Nora had
said we just in Atlanta,
though. I'm surprised because I thought, huh?
I said Nora is here. Venora here, and she said we're dissing the Giants. I'm not dissing y'all. I'm just saying you can't replace Saquon with Devin Singletary and think that's a one for one. That's all I'm saying. Go ahead.
Yes, it's not. But I thought that he had a better chance of getting to Atlanta. But right now he's with nobody.
Listen, you saw it, and just like I saw it, there was, he was in his kitchen and he was like cheering and he was happy, right? That, so, you know, and somebody thought, everybody kind of pitched it that he was going to Atlanta, and I got really scared again. Like, I sometimes when I see stuff like this, I get fearful for my Saints. But I saw Justin Fields headed to the Falcons, and I thought that was where he was going. But if you listen and you pay attention to what's happening on ESPN, what's happening on CBS, every time they talked about Justin Fields, they talk about two locations. One of those locations was Atlanta, and the other was Pittsburgh. And when they talked about him going to,
so where you
when
going
they at? Talked about him going to
what
Pittsburgh, I thought he was going to be great.
Like, nah, Las Vegas ain't taking me because they got Garner Mitchell, boo. So they already got three QBs. They don't need him. They do. They have three QBs. They just signed Garner Mitchell. They're not.
I know they signed Garner.
So where he gonna go?
That ain't gonna stop
he
him
gonna
from
go.
Going.
He better stay in Chicago. He gonna stay in Chicago. Oh, plot twist!
What
plot twist? He did what? All of that. He did all of that unfollowing. And if you don't follow the girl, you don't mess with her. Whatever. Mr. Cheetah Pants. Whatever he said for him to end up still staying where he at.
If okay, I don't think he should stay where he's at.
I don't think he should either,
and I don't think he will.
Well, where he gonna go though? That's really the scenario. Where is he gonna go?
We're quickly running out of spaces because everybody who's in real dire need of a quarterback is going to get their guy, right? There are some options though that are a little bit further down. When you talk about one option that I think about is Denver, and you tell me what you think. Now, I know, I'm aware that, you know,
my guy.
No. I'm saying as a possibility, right? Denver is a possibility. Now, you won't trade a quarterback inside of your division, so the Vikings are not a possibility for him. I don't see that at all, right? He could be a come-up over Geno Smith. The Seattle Seahawks could be something there, right? There are options available, and those are really the ones, right? Outside of that, I don't see anywhere else that he could possibly go. It could be Denver.
Okay.
That's it. It could be
Denver, that's it. What?
Nope. That's one. Or it could be one. I'm gonna say this and it'll be weird, a little bit controversial.
Washington?
No. I'm thinking more so the Giants, right? If you give up on Daniel Jones.
I was going to say, if they give up on Daniel Jones, then they can kind of make up for that Saquon loss with the Justin Fields game, because he do got legs and he can run. He can do it. But what they're going to need to do, though, and I've been saying this in all of the locker talks, they're going to need to have a good QB coach or good somebody to develop him more to be a quarterback, to be a top caliber quarterback. He is going to need some top quality caliber development, because Chicago ruined him. That's it. That's all.
He's going to need it. All right, y'all. Let's get into Odell breaking. When we come back, a little mock draft time. You ready? Here we go.
It's not just about the love of the game. It's about dedication and commitment through the process and the patience to endure. There's joy in reaching your goals and peace in knowing you've done all you're supposed to do. Ozell Brand. It's not just a brand, it's a lifestyle.
It's not a brand, it's a lifestyle.
Yo, shout out to Ozell, man. Shout out to our sponsor. I love those. I love Ozell, man. I love Titus Ozell Golden. That's my guy. He's been so smart. He went out.
Government. Like, did he ask you for that?
Hey, it's on his stuff. Like, you go look at his stuff, it's on his stuff. Yo, shout out to my boy Titus. He went out and he got endorsements from Patrick Mahomes, mother and father, for Ozell Brand. So shout out to him. I can't wait to see more of those commercials. He's doing a really, really great job.
Like a gifted collapse.
Yo, it's my draft time. How you feeling?
Okay, y'all. So y'all know he's been on this mock draft. He's been trying to get me to do it, and I've just been, you know. But since we said that we was going to do the mock draft this episode, because I know the last episode the last 2-3 episodes ago, I think. But yeah, let's just get into it. What we're going to do is we're doing top 10,
Okay.
And he's going to do the odd numbers, so he's going to start off first, even though it could have been ladies first, but I don't like Caleb Williams, so I want to go first. And I don't like the Chicago Bears. So, so he's going to go first, give you his little picky pick. I believe we're using PFF, correct?
Yes, and I know you didn't just say, I'm going to give you my little picky pick. How you couldn't minimize my pick any more than I'm going to give you my little picky pick. But go ahead.
He's going to give you his pick. And we're going to go on. We're going to go on because, you know, we're not trying to be here all night because, you know, we could be when it comes to mock draft. But this is going to be our first of probably like a few. So we're going to probably do a mock draft maybe like 2-3 episodes from here now. Well, we're going to do another one eventually once we see what all the free agency stuff is going on. So this one right here is just very hard mock draft. My minds are going to be very traditional. I should just throw, what's that thing called? Like you throw a, like, not throw a
dart at the wall.
I should literally just pick all the wrong people. Like just because we want to cause some controversy, because when we take these clips, I need people to be like, nah. But then they're gonna be like, she don't know what she, and you know how the men be trying to attack me. So maybe not. We're gonna make smart picks today. Okay.
Yeah, look, I'm gonna tell you something. If you are trying to attack Dev, do what she does. You feel what I'm saying? Like, go to the games, cover games live, right? Be there in the post game press conferences, talk to the coaches, get some insight, right? Like, if you do, then yeah, okay, go toe to toe with Dev. But if you're not doing that, I'd be quiet if I were you. Go ahead.
Thank you. All right, so we have the first round, first pick overall. Is going to the Chicago Bears. With the first pick, the Chicago Bears select.
With the first pick of the draft, the Chicago Bears does something everybody expects them to do and go out and get Caleb Williams. And this is very simple. You watch Caleb Williams. If you watch his highlights at all, you see not only does he throw phenomenal, like off platform, off script, right? He can throw the ball anywhere on the field, but he can also run the ball from the pocket. He's going to be a very dangerous runner when he breaks pocket. He's hard to tackle. I mean, every bit of the stuff that you see in a all around phenomenal quarterback, Caleb Williams has. I heard it said that if you don't start this man, then you're committing a sin, right? I wouldn't say all that. If I'm the Bears, I would keep Justin Fields and bring Caleb along and let them kind of battle it out. I just have a good problem on my hands. But what'd you say?
I said, yeah, because at that point, you do got a good problem on your hands.
Yeah, I have a good problem on my hands. If another team needs Justin Fields, all right, cool. Give me the world for him. But if I look at Caleb Williams and I see him and I pass him, I'm dumb because I've passed up on great quarterbacks in the past. I just did it last year with CJ Stroud. I did it before Patrick Mahomes. I've done it too many times. I ain't doing it again. Caleb Williams is right there. I've been savvy enough to work my way up to the top of the draft. I'm taking him. It's on you.
I'm going to my pick now because I don't even want to talk about this because I feel like they're going to ruin that man. But anyway, moving on to number 2, which is the Washington Commanders. I feel like because they also have a QB problem and they just picked up a running back, that QB will be the smartest thing here. What is the expectation? So the second best quarterback in the NFL draft coming off would be Jaden Daniels from LSU. And they got a new head coach, Dan Quinn. Part of me feels like they're going to be indifferent between him and Drake, but he is the better option because he is the better QB coming out of the draft. But we've seen before where better QBs and people make rash mistakes. So Yeah, I feel like it'll be good for them. They definitely need a they need a quarterback too. They've been suffering with bad quarterbacks and just not having their franchise quarterback. So I feel like if they start fresh, they start young, and they really just put in the work for him, then he'll you see what he does. You've seen what he did when he was at LSU. So I feel like this will probably be the best pick and the best option for them.
I like it. I'm an LSU fan. Jaden Daniels really wowed me this year. Yeah. The year before that, he always looked special when he ran the ball, but didn't look special in the pocket to me. However, this year he improved on his passing from the pocket. And then when he broke pocket, he looked Lamar Jackson special. All type of fast, right? And it's really hard to tackle him. And he's small, but he's durable and he's tough. And man, he put that whole squad on his back, and they had no defense this year. So I'm loving the Jaden Daniels pick. I'm with you 100% on that. All right, pick number three. I'm gonna make this really simple. I have a quarterback problem. I could do one of a few things here. Now I'm gonna tell you what I want to do. Right, if I'm smart, this is what I do. Mm-hmm. I was about to say this is what I do, but yeah. Anyway, this is what I do. I go out and I acquire Justin Fields. If I'm smart, this is what I do.
Yeah.
With the Patriots, with this pick, I go out and I acquire Justin Fields. I don't give up this pick. I give up my second pick, right? Yep. My second round pick, right? With this pick, I go and I get this guy. And I don't want to do this if I don't make this move, but I'm the Patriots and I need a few things. I need a guy who I can trust. And I don't quite trust Drake May, if I'm honest. So I go out. Take that second round pick and a fourth round pick. Okay. So
not to get my pick. Second and fourth. Well, baby, who are you picking in at this point? Because second and fourth. Legit.
I'm giving up a second and a fourth. And right now with this pick, with the third pick in the draft, I'm picking a guy whose dad used to whoop our tail weekly, right? I'm going after Marvin Harrison Jr.
Not just stealing my guy.
Look, the market is closing for Justin Fields, and we're wondering where he's going. He has an opportunity right now, and I'm going to take the opportunity and go get me a Justin Fields, but I'm going to pair him with Marvin Harrison Jr., and now I've solved two problems with just a few picks.
What? Not you taking my wide receiver.
My bad. But I gotta say this.
I like what you did there, though. I can't even be mad at it because it makes sense. I like what you did there.
His dad's been kicking our tail for years. He left. Now I got a chance to get the son. I'm not passing that up. I'm not.
I feel like a Bill Belichick wouldn't pass it up, but you know, we got his AKA
his son. You think he's gonna pass it up?
If he knew better, he'd do better, and I think he's going to do better.
Drake May has been a little bit, how can I say? Drake May has been a little bit, he's been great, right? But last season, he showed some signs that, you know, there are some flaws in his game that may need more correction than you think. So you're not getting a flawless prospect when you get a Drake May. I'm not saying that, you know, he's a horrible quarterback. I'm not saying that he won't be successful in the league. I'm just saying I have a chance to go get a Justin Fields in a market that's a little bit depressed now. Like, all my competition is filled up. They got to give him to me for a cheaper price. So I'm going to use it.
I just feel like the Patriots are not that type of, like, they all, to me, I mean, look, they had the, and I don't mean this in any bad way, but they had like the cookie cutter. They like the cookie cutter, you know, Tom Brady, cookie cutter, Mac Jones. Like, you know, they did go on a wild card and get Cam. That was a wild card for them. And I feel like.
I was about to say that.
They didn't put in the effort to make Cam fit that system, or they didn't want to fit their, they wanted Cam to fit their system and not fit a system for Cam, if that makes sense. So I feel like Justin Fields could be that same way. Like, he's a wild card and you're going to need to develop a system, but Bill Belichick is not there. So this could be a whole brand new era. Like, let's just shake it up a little bit. Let's shake it up, you know? So again, I like it. I like it. And then now I got to rebound because you took my guy, but all right, moving on.
What you got?
Moving on to the number four pick, the Arizona Cardinals also need a wide receiver, and I was going to pick him, but you know what? I got someone just as good.
Okay.
We're going with Malik Nabers from LSU, who has a 92.0 rating. And you know what? They need somebody that can be out there for Kyler Murray, because Kyler Murray, he ain't going nowhere yet. And I feel like they need a true WR1. I feel like he's fast, he's durable, he's overall just super athletic. He's literally right behind Harrison Jr. He has all the qualities, and at the end of the day, the Arizona Cardinals need some spark, they need some spunk, and they need to pull it together. And I feel like he'll be a perfect weapon with Kyler Murray.
Yeah, I actually think Malik Nabers is going to be – well, I don't think anything. I've seen Malik Nabers. you know, we were there for that.
We were there for that Grammy game. And Jaden. Yeah.
So I've seen both of these guys in person, Malik Nabers and Jaden Daniels. And I mean, true, as advertised, that dude's a monster, right? Yeah. So I love what I'm seeing from Malik Nabers. I can't wait till he goes to an NFL team. Everybody, if you know, you didn't know he was that guy. Right, he started catching everything at first, but there was another guy on the field with there was another wide receiver at the time who everybody thought he was the guy. And Malik Nabers showed consistently, no, I'm the guy. I'm the guy. He showed that the year before last, and so I love what he did this year. He did show that he was that dude. With pick number 5, I'm coming in here kind of strong. Now, the last time Harbaugh was in the NFL, and I said this in one of the articles I wrote, but it's fallen this way in the draft too. The last time he was in the league and he had major success, he had one of the fastest, most alien-like tight ends ever in Vernon Davis, right? It was, I think, it was a 4.3 in the 40, ridiculous speed, ridiculous weapon. I think that he'll remember that and know that, hey, tight ends are great friends for quarterbacks who are on the come up. I know he's going to want to have a solid, you know, run game, and you can find running backs now later, but I need a tight end. Brock Bowers on the board. He's a generational talent. Now, I know that just recently we've had another tight end come out, and he was supposed to be a generational talent too, right? But he didn't really pan out. But Brock Bowers gives me all the feels that I want from a top tier tight end. I'm going with Brock Bowers here for the
Chargers. Okay, Georgia, the Dogs. Okay.
I love it.
You know what? I'm not mad at it. I definitely thought that they will go wide receiver. And I think that they also now need a running back. But I know that he's out there, he's pulling guys. So do they need a tight end? Yes. And I feel like the tight end position sometimes is often overlooked. And it's like, you need a good tight end, just like you need a good linebacker, you know? So yeah. If they go that route and take that tight end, yeah, that's good. And coming from Georgia, you know the quality you're going to get from Georgia, so.
I got to pause for a second and recognize one of the GOATs in the building, Connie Westside, the best side. I see you, my dude. In the comment section on IG. So shout out to Connie Westside, the best side. Love you, my brother.
Funny. All right.
Go for it, ma'am. It's on you. You got the Giants pick.
I'm going to go very, very, very safe here. I don't know what the Giants is doing. Mm. I don't know what they're doing. They should have been getting a new quarterback.
Yes,
instead of a new running back.
Yeah.
So, but I'm going to say they're going to take the smart route in getting a baby QB and putting him behind Daniel Jones. I wouldn't rely on Daniel Jones, but that was just me. And what I'm going to say, I'm going to change it because at first I was going to say JJ, but now I'm going to say Drake. I feel like if Drake is still on that chart, which he might be, and he coming in at number 6, you get a Drake May who can use some development, some sitting behind. He sit behind and he play behind Daniel Jones. He gets that experience. He develops a little bit more. Because I feel like all baby QBs, unless they're absolutely ready to actually hit the ground running, they need some development. I feel like you can sit behind Daniel Jones, learn a little bit. And then I feel like he'll take over in the next season, which is 2025. So we're going with Drake May from UNC. Jesus, almost.
I like Drake.
I love that different school from UNC. That's where he's gonna go.
Look, I like Drake May. I like Drake May. I don't think he's. I think if anybody is going to drop, if anybody's going to fall in this draft, if anybody's going to be one of those guys, who's there, right, and just kind of like sitting there in the draft room for a little while, expecting to go like Will Levis did last year. If anybody's a candidate for that, it's Drake May.
Drake May.
I'm telling you right now. Kanye West, I said, yo, love my brother. Dude has no offense. The tight end in Atlanta right now is a generational talent. I guess it's next generation, because this generation, he ain't showed me nothing. Anyway, so
don't be coming up here interrupting the draft. Anyway.
Nah, that's my dude, yo. So, look, as I look at the Titans, man, the Titans have a few different needs, right? They're losing Derrick Henry. Well, number seven, you know.
He definitely just did not. He did not announce the number. We're on number seven.
We're on number seven, right? But normally you do that. You say, with the seventh pick, right? So I ain't ready yet. So I'm gonna go with here. I can go either two. I can go Joe Alt, right? Who is most people's best tackle in the very deep tackle draft. Or I can go Roma Dunze. Right now, Roma Dunze,
also good.
Who's very good, right? And he showed off at the combine. He really showed off, and he showed his grit and tenacity and all that kind of stuff at the combine. He was trying to do this one drill faster, over and over. I like Roma Dunze. I like Joe Alt. If I go anywhere,
But you're talking about two different positions here, so you need to pick a position first.
That's the reason why.
I know why. Trust me, I know they won't be both. Okay. But I want you to pick your decision. Pick your position first.
Bet.
You going wide receiver?
It's tough. I don't know, to be honest with you. And I don't know what that looked like on camera, but Joe Alt. They need to protect Will Levis.
Let's not talk about who's a better player. Who is going to be the best fit?
I'm going with what they need and what they can get later. There's not another Rome in this draft, right? Like the wide receiver class is deep, but there's more tackles later. I'm going with Rome here, because I feel like I can get another tackle later on in the draft. Maybe a Patrick Paul in the second round. Maybe there's other guys there that I want to get later, because it's a deep tackle draft. These wide receivers, they're very elite, and then the next tier is not that bad. But
it's your pick. I'm not gonna argue with you, but what I'm saying is the Titans desperately need a tackle, because Andre Dillard was not the answer. They definitely need a tackle. I get what you're saying. There's not another room. Rome probably gonna be on 1DC. He probably gonna go whatever.
You say he's not the answer, but you got right now you have DeAndre Hopkins, right? You have DeAndre Hopkins, and when you traded away AJ, you thought that you could just replace him easily. You have not.
And they tried to fill their tackle spot with Dillard. They have not.
They have not.
So but I get what you're saying.
I'm deep though at tackle. I'm deep.
I get what you're saying.
I'm deep, and I'm going with it here. Okay, cool. Now this will be a big argument in the room. So what you're doing right now is not different than what's going to happen in the war room. I'm pretty sure they're going toe-to-toe in that war room, right? Because you got Joe Alt, who's the best tackle, versus your third best wide receiver, right? Mm-hmm. At this point, your third best wide receiver. So do you want third best wide receiver or the very best tackle? So you're right. What you're doing right now is exactly what they're going to do in that war room. And I'm going to have to convince you. I'm going to really have to have you come. I am. But if you look at Roma Dunze, you're really looking at he could be a generational talent. He could be.
I don't need convincing on his talent. I need convincing on who's going to be the better fit for my offensive line. That's what I need convincing. And I'm hard to convince. Anyway,
we're gonna try next year. You got the Falcons on the board here. What you doing?
Number eight pick, the Falcons. okay, so they looking like they get they got their QB situation. They might got a fix. All right. Now they need an edge. They need an edge rusher. And I feel like the best one in the draft is Dallas Turner from Alabama. He's a go-getter. He works hard, fast. They need a pass rusher, and I think that's who they're going to pick. That's who they should pick. That's where you need to go. Go ahead and join that elite team over there of the eliteness or whatever. So, I mean, yeah, I feel like that'll solve a lot of some of those issues that got going over there in Atlanta. I'm looking at how can they address their issues, and I'm looking at who will be the best fit to address that issue that they have. And one of those issues is pass rushing. So why not go and get the best one in the draft?
I like it.
You talk about generational
talent here.
Worth, you know, I feel like that can definitely, I feel like he has that ability to do that. But I also know that Atlanta does not make good draft picks for whatever odd reason. They never pick good in the draft, and you know,
They knocked the Bijan one out the water last year. They knocked the Bijan one out the water.
I'm saying, like, yeah. In the grand scheme of things, they have had some bad selections. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying like last year they picked that. I didn't say last year. I'm saying they have a sometimes they be picking wrong. And maybe that's because the people in the war room are not doing enough to convince whoever is, you know, who needs to be making that pick. So I just think that it's a good pick for them.
I think it's a great pick, honestly. They haven't had any terrible, like, you fear nobody on that defense at the defensive end spot. Like, you fear people at the defensive tackle because they do have a great defensive tackle in Jackson. But you look on the outside, you don't fear nobody. You don't fear their linebackers for real, right? You fear that safety. But outside of that, you don't fear many people on their defense, and so they do need somebody who's a terror on the outside. He has ridiculous speed, and he showed that off. So I like that. I'm going to follow that up by making it a run on edge defenders here and go with one of the guys who I absolutely love. And it's going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt somebody else who's watching, right? Because I want my team to draft this guy so bad. I want the Saints to draft him so bad. Jared Verse is who I'm going with here. Listen, this man just went toe-to-toe with his wide receiver in basketball and beat him, right? So he went toe-to-toe with his wide receiver in basketball. Him and Keon Coleman are playing basketball. And Keon Coleman actually played basketball before he went to Florida State. And he's a dog. And Jared Verse is a defensive end. Not only did he beat him one-on-one in basketball, but then he flipped around and beat him in the 40 time. He runs a faster 40 time than their best wide receiver. That's who we're talking about when you talk about Jared Verse. If you think it's just speed with him, it's not. I think Dallas Turner is more speed. Jared Verse is speed to power, no problem. He picks up tackles and walks them into their quarterback. That's what he does. He grabs the tackle and says, hey, we're going to go sack the quarterback together.
Florida State for you. Go Noles.
And he's so fun to watch, and he's a great personality. Definitely. I think for us, he'd be a great replacement for Cam Jordan. But that's why I'm going with that. And I left you a gift. I left you a gift under the tree. Go ahead.
You left me a gift?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, you did. I don't know. I like the pick. I like the pick. I like the man. I think he is. I got to watch him in the season, like during the season. So what he did when he came to Clemson was an issue. What he did when he was at Georgia Tech was an issue. What he was an issue. So I like it. We're at number 10 now. We're wrapping it up with number 10. Okay. Number 10, we have the New York Jets. J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets. Now, The Jets have not really picked up anybody in free agency yet, but I feel like if they are smart, they're going to go get Aaron Jones here. But we know that the Jets also need to increase and build up that offensive line because, baby, they need some help. They need some help. So with that, I'm going to commit myself. I'm not going to stare in the other direction that I was going to go. I'm going to go offensive tackle. And since you left the best one on the board, I'm going to go with Joe Ault from Notre Dame. And I got to see him in prime action as well. You know, I'm an ACC girly now. And he really is about that business. He about that business, okay? We already talked about him a little bit, so I'm not going to go more in depth of that. But I do just want to bring up, hold on, let me look. I'm going to look at his, what is his rating? As I love the ratings. He has a 92.0 rating. He is the best offensive tackle in the draft. And I think that if he is still on the board, then it'll be really smart for the Jets to pick him up, to mold him, to fit right into that offensive line and doing whatever they need to do for Aaron, because he does not need to get knocked out at the first game of the season again. So maybe if they have a tackle there who can actually do some work and who was protecting, you know, Sam Hartman all season, I feel like that'll be great. So that's where I'm going.
Yo, I'm gonna just wrap up with a bonus. Boom.
Not a bonus.
And boom. What I'm gonna give you that. I'm gonna give you that as a bonus. You got
what? Did you go ahead and go down to the Saints? You just, that's why you went.
No. I didn't. Yeah, right. That is why. But but I didn't do it. Look, I'm gonna stop it right here. I gave you a bonus at number 11 and number 12. The Vikings are gonna need to replace Kirk Cousins, so I went out and got JJ McCarthy. Right. I think that's gonna be a good replacement. And like people are not talking about this enough, but I think there's some type of great relationship that will be. Look, Sean Payton obviously didn't like Russell Wilson at all. As a person, as a human, as a football player, as a husband, as a community leader, he hated that man. So
the whole thing is like, what did he do to you?
He didn't do nothing but have his own office. That's what he did.
For you when you didn't like that, Sean? Like, come on.
Sean didn't like that man from jump, but he will like Bo Nix. So I think Bo Nix, and I'm not the first person to kind of predict this, but Sean Payton going out and getting a Bo Nix, he'll be a guy who plays within Sean Payton's system. He doesn't have to be a crazy strong arm quarterback, but you need to be a guy who can play within the great system. If Sean doesn't go out and get Bo Nix, then it may be JJ. But Sean's already thinking about what's next for him. I can see him going out and making an investment in a Bo Nix here or a JJ McCarthy. But
it'll be a cheaper investment then. Because they already about to pay a whole bunch of money for a quarterback that ain't gonna play. So that's a smart move there.
Yep. I'm with it. All right, y'all. And I that was bonus, right? That's a good little laying for y'all. Bonus.
Maybe next two time. Bonus. Two bonus. Next time we'll do, I don't know, maybe longer, or we'll do at some point we need to do the whole 32.
We can do it. One episode we just go all 32 and just run that joint. Honestly, I'm not gonna lie to you, that was fun. That was really fun.
You love doing the mock draft. It's fun though. I feel like although I wasn't 100% prepared on my picks and my selections, I did what I needed to do.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you really did your thing. You really did your thing. That was dope.
Yeah. It makes a huge difference too. Like the fact that I've been covering college football all season, and I've covered more than one team who also plays a different, you know, calibers of teams. So the fact that I can see a lot of ACC players coming in and SEC players going into the draft, I know what they look like. I know what they're doing. Way more than what I did last year. Last year I was like, I got to really study this. But this year I kind of feel more comfortable. It was like, okay, well, I've seen these people play. I've seen what they did in the draft. And now I know what is going to look great. And a lot of these teams, we already know what they need because we've seen how they lacked last season. But I think overall the draft is going to be great. You know why I love the draft. I love the draft because I get to see the fashion. So I can't wait. One of these years I want to get to the draft. It's in Detroit, so I don't know if I wouldn't want to go there, but
I'm not excited, but I would go to the next one, wherever it is. We went to the one in Nashville, and it was remarkable.
I love that.
It was remarkable.
Nashville is such a great place.
Yeah, it was remarkable. So I can't wait for you know what? I would go down. I don't know where the next one is, but I think the next one we should be at, and we should cover it, right? So that'll be something that we try to do for next year. Yo, so it's been a phenomenal show so far, as always. Dez, give us your final thoughts. You know, I don't know, you're kind of all over the place. You've been to a few different places. You've been dropping videos left and right. What's been your favorite thing to cover for the last few days? What's been your favorite video to make? You've made videos that's popping right now on TikTok, right? And one's at 13K, right? You're doing it right now. So talk to me about your favorite video, your favorite topic in sports to cover for the last few days.
Well, my favorite topic in sports has really not been on football. So my favorite, we'll talk about my favorite, like, non-football. This is the football.
Favorite period.
I mean, I guess because I'm getting ready for March Madness, and March Madness is one of the times that I actually like love, but I dire love that. But I do also feel like some of the, which I still have to drop another additional interview, I feel like I don't know, I'm trying to think of something football related that I actually like.
It don't gotta be football, because I'm not talking about football.
Oh, well, then it's been just getting up with the with March Madness. Okay. And getting into hockey, of course, I'm always into hockey, but like the ECHL hockey is getting into, they're going to be finishing up their regular season. Then they're going to be doing playoffs and see who's going to get to the Kelly Cup. So that's really important. NHL is still going. MLB is in, has opening day is like almost here, but you know, we're wrapping it in. Is less than 2 months away for opening day. So that's going to be great. And I'm really excited too. I'm going to just put this out here. Like the Pretty Playbook podcast is going to be interviewing some HBCU baseball players. So I'm super excited about that. Really getting deep inside about other HBCU sports and just other sports in general. But got to do it for the Black and Brown folks. So I'm super excited to have some baseball people. Hopefully I get more than one, but right now I have at least one that I'm definitely going to have on the show. So I'm excited about all of that. All of that. I need football to come back, though. College, I miss you. I'm, like, losing my mind. Game day. I miss you so much.
Look, I've been excited about – well, okay. I'm excited about women's basketball. And – it's been my favorite thing to cover for the last few days, because yesterday I'm with my father-in-law and we're playing pool, right? And I'm not good at pool, but he was teaching me. So played 7 games, and by the end of it, I got better. I did one of them behind-the-back shots, and I'm big, so that was a big accomplishment. And I made it. And I made it. It was a remarkable day. Remarkable day. They don't call me spectacular for nothing. I'm just being honest. So now, as we we're playing games and I'm looking up, I see LSU, right, playing South Carolina, and I realized that in any other year in my entire life, I'd look up and I see that and I'd go back to focusing on pool, right? I wouldn't stop and I wouldn't continue to watch. I'd see it and I'd be like, oh, nice play, right? And but this time I stopped the game and explained to my father-in-law why this was important. And
there was women's basketball been popping for a minute now, but okay, I'll let you have, go ahead.
Can I tell my truth? This is my truth. Last year, I saw it in the championship game, like in the championship when we finally got down to the last 4 teams. Then I started paying attention for real because I saw Caitlin doing her thing, right? And I saw Angel Reese doing her thing. So I started paying attention late last season, but I wouldn't have stopped like I did this season because it's been such a buildup. I stopped and I said, hey, this is important. And it's important for these reasons. And it was such a great game. And now, granted, LSU was down most of the time and they were trying to come back most of the time. So that's why it was great to me, because I'm an LSU fan. And maybe it matters a little bit more because I'm from Louisiana. But it was really, really good. And so we dropped the video on that joint. 1.1 million views on it. Just incredible. Just an incredible, like, storyline. And I can't wait to see what the tournament is going to look like, because I know it's going to produce more crazy moments. And I know it's going to be amazing. So I'm looking forward to the women's basketball tournament more than I'm looking forward to the men's basketball tournament, because I'll be honest with you, I'm not really paying attention to the men's basketball tournament right now. And I don't think a lot of, I don't think everybody is. I think a lot of people's eyes are locked in on the women's basketball right now. And I think it's popping. So I'm excited about it.
Well, yes and no. The men's are going to generate their dynasty teams. Like they're, it may seem like less people, and I'm not saying that it won't, but no matter what, men's basketball and basketball has always been that thing, will be that thing, continue to be that thing. But for women's basketball, it's expanding and it's getting better, and more eyes are getting on it, which is great. If you want to get into brackets for March Madness, last year I started by doing, and I followed the women because obviously I'm a woman, pretty girls of sports. I follow both men and women, and this year I'm actually going to do a men's bracket. Last year I was like forced to do a men's bracket. I was like, I don't men's bracket, but because I also been covering Clemson and Georgia Tech basketball, so I mean, why not? Georgia Tech is nowhere in your jagging video, but Clemson has a chance. So I will be doing a women's and a men's bracket. So, you know, if you're interested in trying to learn that, I also have an introductory video on like, what is the bracket? How do you do it? All that stuff. I made that video last year. I may pin it to my TikTok page because y'all need to go back to figure out how to do y'all brackets, because I'm not going to be explaining it again. But I will be doing a women's bracket. I will be following the whole time, making my videos and reactions and all those things. So follow at PG Love Sports. Make sure you're following MTMV Sports. And well, it's actually MTMVPN on like Twitter and like just follow, just type in
MTMVPN on Twitter, MTMV Sports everywhere else.
Yeah, well, somebody needs to fix that. But follow.
Well, it's a very long story behind that.
Follow on all platforms. Follow us. Make sure you're liking this video. You can share it. You can also repost it on YouTube to get somebody to say, hey, check them out. These two AA creators that are talking about sports and really diving into it. And if you really just want to say you follow them because of me, then that's fine too. But as always, thank you so much for tuning in, for watching, engaging, and being part of this community. If you want to support us in any way, feel free to reach out to us in a DM. You can send us a Cash App too. And we look forward to seeing y'all on the next episode.
It's not just about the love of the game. It's about dedication.